6:34, you're tuned to KW Magazine on FM 98.5 CKWR. Twenty-four degrees outside our studios. We'll look at our weather forecast from Environment Canada in a few minutes. Up next, though, of course, you're aware of the fact that Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe, passed away on June the 10th at the age of 89. Gordie Howe, of course, was special on the ice, but also off the ice. And according to my next guest, in fact, he was singularly unique in the fact that he understood that his legacy wouldn't start until he stepped off the ice. We're pleased to be joined on the telephone by Rob Lucy. He is author of a book titled Legacies Aren't Just for Dead People. And Mr. Lucy joins us on the line. Good evening.
Hi there, John. How are you?
I'm well. Appreciate you you joining us. Were you a fan of Gordie Howe?
Oh, well, yes. I was raised with him, and raised with him. I watched since the 50s, and although I must admit Boston was my team, I always was an admirer of Gordie, and we had, when we played junior hockey, really junior, sort of like age 10, 11, 12, we used to give a Gordie Howe sweater to wear for the next period for a guy who got a goal. So he held a pretty good spot in our minds.
He certainly did. Now, as I mentioned off the top, you feel that he's quite unique in terms of how he understood his legacy and the impact that that he would have on folks off the ice, particularly the young ones. How unique was it, and why do you think that was the case?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at sports figures like Gordie or hockey and football and basketball, and somebody leaves, they say, well, his legacy is, you know, 500 goals. His legacy is X number of points, et cetera. And I after doing about 10 years of research on what legacy really is, those are great memories. But I'm going on a definition of legacy, the saying that it's something that you create that connects and enhance lives now, and that you can enjoy it now, and it'll positively affect lives when you're gone. So Gordie was an epitome of that, because he was a great connector when he was off the ice. His memory of goals and Gordie Howe, what was that called? The Gordie Howe hat-trick.
When he
got a goal, an assist, and a fight.
Yeah.
Well, those are great memories, but they're not legacies. Legacies are what Gordie gave to people and connected with people when he was alive, and he was such an admirable, mellow, soft soul. But he wanted people to know that there's more to life after hockey, and being a good person and helping people grow up and giving kids the encouragement they need. That's what he wanted to leave with, and his legacy will be those kids will carry on with that, mm-hmm. those ideas and those goals. And I talked to a friend who knows the family very well, and he said Gordie gave up hundreds of thousands of dollars in appearance fees because he said, no, let's use that money to help kids get along, help kids play hockey, and the focus of some of the charities he spoke to. Mm-hmm. So his legacy isn't on the ice. I don't think those are great memories, but his legacy is leaving in the brains of kids that they can do really well off the ice, and they can be a gentleman and a builder of souls rather than a puncher of jaws.
Do you think that's a fascinating interpretation of the definition of legacy that you described for us. Do you think that that's a fairly new direction in terms of how we view that word and how we view that whole notion of legacy?
Well, in the early part of this, at polite dinner tables, I'd say, what do you think your legacy will be? Well, most people end up staring into their Brussels sprouts because, you know, we've got the kids, I've got the job, we haven't had time, et cetera. And the financial industry has kind of stolen the idea of legacy. Legacy now is what most people think it's about money and death. And it's not. It's that's what I'm hoping the book is doing, and seems pretty successful at it. It's saying that legacy is something that you create now, and that it connects you to people, enhances everybody's lives, and you know when you breathe your last smile 30, 40 years from now, this good stuff will continue. That's what I think a legacy is, something that you can enjoy now and people can enjoy with you and enjoy later. Is it new? Yeah, because I think the financial industry has said that legacy equals money, and that's why people put their heads down, because, well, maybe we don't have a legacy just yet. But most people do, and I know all people do, and in about three chapters they can create the most important legacy they could ever leave their family. And it has nothing to do with money.
Mm-hmm. As I was listening to you talk about Gordie Howe's impact on young people and the impact off the ice, I recall distinctly I met Gordie Howe a couple of times, but one time I was an 18-year-old student going to a university in the United States, and along with a mate, a friend of mine, we were in Chicago at O'Hare Airport, and were stranded because of a terrible snowstorm, which is not unusual in January in that part of the world. And we walked over to a bar in one of the off one of the gates, and lo and behold, there was Gordie Howe sitting with Art Scove, who was a former referee in the NHL, and we casually approached him and asked him if we could say a quick hello to him, and he invited us to sit down and join him for a beer, and we spent almost 2 hours sitting and chatting to the gentleman, and the gentleman is a correct way of describing Mr. Hockey, because he was very generous with his time, a very humble person, as you say, someone who cared about the individual person and didn't have the aura of a superstar.
Well, then I would turn it around then, John, and say, what was Gordie's legacy for you?
Well, it's that memory, of course. Absolutely.
Memory, and then perhaps the knowledge that it's okay to have two strangers sit with you, because probably there'll be some great connections there. So he was good at that. He was
Absolutely.
Great at that. I met him once too, and had the same feeling. And he looked me in the eye, and I'm looking into the eye of Mr. Hockey. Holy smoke!
Although he did blink a fair bit.
But, yeah, he had that blink, but I did see his eyes.
You're with KW Magazine on FM 98.5 CKWR. Our guest is Rob Lucy. He is the author of Legacies Aren't Just for Dead People. You talk about the importance of people's creating their own legacies while they're alive, creating it now. What are some of the assets, what are some of the tools that one needs in order to get that project going?
Well, the very first one is to, and we don't often do it, but get in touch with your values. Your values are the kind of the engine that drive you. They're the ones that, and we don't often put a lot of thought to this, as I say, but I put a list of, at the very start of the book, a list of about 150 values, and then I show people in the book what the five that my top five values are. And I tell a story about each one of them. So if example, one of the values is, say, integrity, I tell a story about how I tried to live that. A meaningful story that really means something to me. Once I've got, and this is called a legacy letter, it's the very simplest form of legacy, and that is you describing the values you live by. Because, John, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So if we go tomorrow and there's a legacy letter there, it's a powerful document for your family. So that's one. Get your values together, and then we talk about using your skills and your talents and your resources. Also, there's lots of stories in there. The simplest legacy, as I say, though, is a simple tell your story. Then we talk about getting the stories of those whose stories you don't want to disappear, and then we go into creating legacies with your talents, your skills, your resources and that sort of thing. But it can start pretty simple, and getting to your values is the baseline of really starting to create some legacies that you will really enjoy.
Is there an advantage, I guess, or if you will, an important aspect to you having a hand in that legacy versus someone else after you die?
Yeah, I think the saddest part is that most people hear about their legacies from their eulogists, and mm-hmm. that's just a little late. I make fun of it a bit, but I'd rather know that when I finally go, I've been able to enjoy them all the way along and knowing they're going to continue. So it's a shift in thinking to say, and because most people think that legacies are going to be told by other people. Well, I'd like to tell them. In fact, when I go, I'll have what is called my legacy journal, and it'll talk about what I think I built and create and were beneficial to me and those around me. And finally, when I go, or when you go, John, and you've got your legacy journal, all I need to do if I'm your eulogist is read it. Here's what John thought he created. Here's what John thought he left behind that was of value and that he lived by. And instead of, I've been to funerals before, and if you have, where the eulogist sometimes has a tough time because they don't know really what was important to them. So I want to create mine and enjoy them and jot them down. So if I get hit by a herd of water buffalo, all you have to do is read it, and that'll say what I thought I've created of value and left behind.
You mentioned earlier that the general population's view of what legacy means is unfortunately many times skewed towards money, towards the financial aspect of one's yep. life. How do we eliminate that from the equation? How do you put the focus, if you will, on other things that perhaps are much more important?
I guess yeah, you have to have the experience of starting of doing what I said, and that's isolate your values and tell the story of your values. And then when I did my first legacy letter, and it evolves as time goes on, but I remember when I put it in the drawer, I felt absolutely exhausted and drained and hugely happy because I've got it now, it's there. I'm not going to be strained by leaving money to the kids and grandkids and all the rest of it. This is more important for them than the money part. There's been studies in the U.S. with large insurance companies saying that especially as this transfer is going to the boomers, that it's less important to get the money and more important to get the stories, more important to get the history of the families than it is for the than it is to get a great big check. And I was surprised at that, but it's weighted very heavily towards boomers saying we want the stories and we want the history rather than the money. So I don't know if that helps your question, but It the stories of legacy and those that are wrapped up with what our legacies are more important than the money. But people have to experience that first, and so that's why I've started real simple with the first level of legacy calling. Tell your story.
Rob Lucy is our guest. He's the author of Legacies Aren't Just for Dead People. Is it okay as well when you are going through that exercise of initially building your legacy and putting it together? Is it okay to seek the input of others, people perhaps that have been influences in your life or people that are important in your life?
Oh, heck yes. Well, there's two ways to do it. When I wrote my first legacy letter, which I've got it in my drawer just a foot away from me, I'll give it to trusted people and say, does this make sense to you? Does this sound like me? And that's a pretty neat exercise to have, because I wrote down five values and I told a story for each one of them, and the stories rang true, and I said, I am being true to myself, and this person agrees that these are true. Or, I mean, if you've got a partner and say, what do you think my values are? That's a really interesting question to ask and to get that feedback from other people. And they may come up with different values than what you thought you had. And there may be some overlap, but is it okay to ask them? Heck yes. I think it's a brilliant idea to find out just what really is going on in their minds, too, because they're the ones living beside you. And they're the ones experiencing what you give off, I guess. And what you give off are your values. And they may have some different ones, and that would be okay, too. It's a little bit of learning.
What advice would you have for someone listening to us who perhaps has thought about doing this and just can't take that first step? What should they do to get moving on the road to putting together a legacy for themselves?
Well, remember, there's different levels of legacy. One is the one we've talked about a fair bit here is your own story. Then there's collecting of the stories. I did a book with my father. I didn't want his history to go away. He had a medaled military career as a gunner in World War II. And so collecting those stories, and then the third level, so it's my story, their stories, and then building legacies. Now, if somebody can't get started, it's just really taking that leap of faith to write down, I would say, read the first chapters, write down one value. Maybe your one value is giving back. And say, yeah, I think that's a value of mine. And then write a little story. It doesn't have to be brilliant. Nobody else will ever see it until you decide to give it to them. Write a little story about what giving back meant to you. And I think putting that in a drawer, just putting that one value and the one story in a drawer will start your engine. Because others will come up. You'll wake up in the middle of the night saying, you know what, my other value is integrity. And so that may go down in the letter. The letter can change every day. It doesn't really matter. Put it in the computer and print out a new one. So to get started, I would just say find one value out of the 10 that may drive you and write a story about it. And say and write that story so that your kids or your family or anybody can read later if you want them to, and really understand what that value was in you. So write one value down, write a story for it, put it in the drawer. That's my advice to get going.
The book is titled Legacies Aren't Just for Dead People. Rob, thank you so much for joining us. You have a website that folks can check out?
Yes, thank you. It's called yourlegacysmile.com, www.yourlegacysmile.com, and there's a lot in there. And the book, of course, you can find at Amazon, and I think you'll find it a fun read with lots of stories to be a catalyst for your imagination and to change what I'm trying to change, and that is legacy is not just about money and death and how rich you are. It's about all kinds of things you can create to connect you to people and just have a lot more fun and be a happier person.
Rob, good of you to join us. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, John.
All the best. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Rob Lucy is the author of Legacies Aren't Just for Dead People.